one of the main points we're trying to make today is what happens in the mouth does not stay in the mouth.
A fact that many of us may never consider.
A host of health issues can be triggered in the body when the mouth is unhealthy.
Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare, both in person and through telemedicine. Learn more and schedule an appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. By now, you know we're all about a holistic approach to your healthcare. But are we ignoring a holistic approach to our mouth, where traditional dentistry can lead to chronic illness? Listen as doctors Pat Hopkins and Steve Roberts, along with functional nurse nutritionist Leslie Frodema, talk to a holistic dentist about alternatives to mercury fillings, fluoride, and root canals. Pat, we talk a lot about holistic medicine, especially what you do at Hopkins Medical Group, but we haven't talked about holistic dentistry. Does it ever come up in your exam rooms with your patients?
It comes up if I ask. And quite honestly, prior to that, patients were never accustomed to having anything about their oral health asked in a doctor, a physician, or primary care, or even functional medicine. What turned my attention to that, certainly as we personalized things, as I was aging, finding that I was having dental issues, and then became interested in what's the long-term effect of many of the procedures that were being recommended to me, like implants, root canals, fillings, etc. I then was introduced to the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Technology and started following their programs online, and a whole new world opened up.
Well, let's bring in an expert on this topic, Dr. Iveta Yancheva-Baremi from Boston Dental Wellness. Hello, doctor.
Hello, Ted.
Hi, Dr. Baremi. Thank you for coming.
It's a pleasure to be here. I am glad to be invited for the first time, actually, to discuss dentistry with a physician and healthcare professionals that are not dentists.
You're fond of saying that our bodies are very intelligent. We all know that they're interconnected.
Well, the mouth is a mirror of what's happening in the body. Teeth and gums and oral tissues very tightly connected to the body. First, in development, tissues are actually extension of our brain. They use the same developmental layers of cells, just like the brain and other organs. And for this reason, from the very beginning of our life, teeth and the mouth are very connected with the body, and the notion that you can fix something in the mouth that will not have a repercussion to overall health is basically not true.
Can you define what holistic dentistry is?
Holistic dentistry is first philosophy to know that everything is interconnected and we are not merely parts that walk around by itself. We belong to one body and everything that happens in this body is influencing every part of the body. Teeth are connected to the organs through the energetic meridians. And if something is going on like dying tooth or root canal treatment, this tooth that is connected to a particular organ or particular system will have influence energetically and sometimes physically through the neurotransmitters, through the bloodstream and bacteria molecules that are traveling from the blood supply from around the tooth to the organ or to the system that is sometimes quite far away from the mouth.
Can you walk us through what a visit is like when a patient comes to see you? Specifically, how is holistic dentistry different from a traditional dentist?
Holistic dentistry takes into consideration everything that we do in the mouth will somehow affect the whole health and well-being of the person. Therefore, we care what materials we are using and what techniques we are using to treat conditions in the mouth. Holistic dentists are highly trained, for example, to remove amalgam fillings or mercury fillings with specific protocols and precaution to not let mercury vapors be inhaled by the patient or by the dental doctor and assistant and hygienist or anybody that is in the office. The materials that are used try to be of highest biological level and compatibility with the body, and a lot of reasons that dentists will believe that certain procedures are not biocompatible with the health of the overall body, just like root canals and leaving dead teeth in the body for lifetime to have a release of bacteria and toxins and cause infection.
Let's bring in our team with some questions. Dr. Stephen Roberts, I've had mercury fillings in my mouth probably for decades. What is the danger of me still having mercury fillings in my mouth?
The general medical and dental community only really values as a concern an acute and sudden high-level toxic exposure to mercury. In terms of having concerns about a slow buildup of mercury over time and what chronic effect it can have, that has been greatly undervalued by both the general dental associations and medical associations. The truth is that mercury is neurotoxic. We know that it is not inert and doesn't just sit in the teeth, which is what the general consensus viewpoint has been for many, many decades, that it doesn't cause a problem in the teeth because it stays in the teeth. But we actually know from a lot of research in animals that it redistributes, that the fine vapors that kind of off-gas from these fillings and that we swallow go into different parts of the body. They line our intestines. What are they doing in our intestines if they were put in the teeth? We know that they go into other parts of the body and into the brain. And if something's neurotoxic, I don't want it to be in my body and in my brain.
So, doctor, what are we using through holistic dentistry that's not mercury?
We were using materials that are called composites and ceramic, which are metal-free, and they are called inert materials that are not interacting chemically and biochemically too much with the fluids and tooth structure and bloodstream.
I remember years ago, my dental insurance didn't cover anything other than mercury fillings, and I think now if I wanted to change out my mercury fillings for another kind of filling, that they wouldn't cover that either. Is that antiquated thinking, or has the insurance industry caught up with the potential dangers of mercury?
Sadly, the insurance companies did not catch up. Still, payments for mercury, especially by MassHealth, they pay higher amounts for mercury filling for amalgam than for composite filling. A lot of plans of big insurance companies, just like Delta and Blue Cross, they do not cover white fillings on molars and premolars. They call them back teeth. They cover only composite fillings for front teeth because they are highly aesthetic. Here, we're still very, very far away from insurance company believing actually that amalgam fillings should not be used in any case and any situation in dentistry.
So we get away from the fillings for a second, and let's get to fluoride toothpastes. Is this something that we're taking for granted, brushing our teeth with fluoride toothpaste?
Yes, this is something we're taking for granted, and this is based on information that fluoride is good for your teeth. There is a lot of research to show that fluoride has very little role to play in protection of teeth. Mostly, it's a neurotoxic poison and is basically very bad for your health.
That just kind of stops me, maybe all of us, in our tracks. So what's the alternative, doctor, to fluoride toothpastes? What should we be doing?
The alternative to fluoride toothpaste is any toothpaste without fluoride. There are a lot of components in the toothpaste that actually you can combine and prepare the toothpaste by yourself. Recently, the big hip is charcoal, and charcoal has property of absorbing toxins and also whitening your teeth. It's now in almost every cosmetic product on the market.
We think of charcoal and we think of barbecuing, so I think we need to have a new branding of charcoal to help our teeth.
Yes.
So that we can focus on mercury, we can focus on fluoride, but there are actually many different chemicals that we could be exposing ourselves here that can be not necessarily good for health. In toothpaste, there are other things like sodium lauryl sulfate, triclosan, and some toothpaste brands. These are things that can be endocrine disruptors and can result in some negative impact on health. We also know that some of these things can affect the oral microbiology in terms of the healthy bacteria that may be present in our mouth. And so becoming a little more sophisticated and a little more conversant about the different chemicals you are actually putting in your mouth, on your teeth, into the blood vessels that are lining your gums and along your oral cavity, these are things that can have an impact in a number of different ways, not just from a toxicity point of view, but also from an allergy or sensitivity point of view.
That's really interesting, Dr. Steve. Leslie Frodema, as a functional nurse nutritionist, you've often talked about the habitat that is going on in our body, the good bacteria that we need, that not all bacteria is bad bacteria. So now we're talking about that habitat that either starts in the mouth or ends up in the mouth.
One of the most important factors in terms of keeping the microbiome in your mouth healthy is, not surprisingly, what you put in your mouth to eat. And just like the microbiome in our gut, the beneficial bacteria in the mouth have a preference for certain foods, and those are foods that are low in simple carbohydrates and sugar, foods that are high in fiber, vitamins, and nutrients. So lots of vegetables, beans, good quality fats like avocado and coconut oil, and not overdoing animal protein. Sugary foods, processed foods, unhealthy fats create an acidic environment in the mouth. This creates an environment that's hospitable to the non-beneficial microbes. This sets you up for not only cavities and gum disease, but also systemic inflammation. One of the main points we're trying to make today is what happens in the mouth does not stay in the mouth. A host of health issues can be triggered in the body when the mouth is unhealthy. Remember, it's not just what you eat, but it's what you drink as well. So be careful with those high sugar drinks. Try to limit things like fruit juices, soda, drink more water, green tea, which is high in polyphenols, or low sugar vegetable juices.
Hi, it's Ted with a brief reminder to rate and review this podcast on whatever channel you're listening. The insights in these 20 minutes are what you can expect in becoming a member of Hopkins Medical Group. Learn more and schedule an appointment, either in person or through telemedicine, at thegeniusofwellness.org. Now back to our conversation.
Doctor, one of the things we often suggest to our patients to keep their mouths healthy is oil pulling as part of a daily or couple time a week routine. I'm wondering what your opinion of oil pulling is as a holistic dentist.
Oil pulling is a technique of having either coconut oil or sesame seed oil, sometimes even olive oil. You take the sip of the oil and then you swish around for at least 20 minutes. It has to be done early in the morning before the person intakes any liquids or food. This has several implications to oral health and to overall health. On the first place, oil pulling is taking the toxins out of the tongue and the mucosa of the mouth. Also, by swishing around, you're massaging the gum tissue, which is very beneficial for people that have gingivitis or even early stages of periodontal disease. Coconut oil also has antibacterial properties.
I was wondering if you would comment on the overuse of antacid medications and the impact on the oral biome.
The acid and antacid medications, it's a problem for overall health, and especially in the mouth, shifting the pH from normal. That has a repercussion not only for the microbiome that changes and gives priority to bacteria that like more acidity, and those are not good bacteria that we want to have in our system and especially in our mouth. Why? Because they are more aggressive and they are producing more acid, and that will immediately cause caries to develop in our mouth. If you open your mouth and I can see caries lesions around the neck of the teeth or close to the gum line, I can immediately ask patient if he has any gastrointestinal problems, because this usually happens when you have high acidity, especially at night, in the mouth, that makes this lesion to develop. Also, the color and the shade of the enamel of the teeth is also changed. You know, the enamel becomes more brittle and more translucent, and this is also another sign that the acidic environment in the mouth is causing this problem.
We've been using laser therapy in our practice for many different issues. And recently we've used the low laser light for people with root canals and people with persistent pain.
Lasers are part of my holistic practice. I have several different kinds of laser, including the cold laser. All the cold lasers are known to help with the regeneration of tissues, with the stimulating the blood flow, and for this reason to remove toxins and to remove pain. I combine lasers in my practice with several different other technologies. One of them is called SCANAR. It's helping the body to diagnose itself and to basically treat itself. Together with the low-level laser, this technology gives very good results of removing pain of any kind and speeding up the healing and the regeneration of the tissues and the cells in the mouth and the whole body.
Dr. Roberts, why don't you share some thoughts you have about root canals?
Root canals are actually a very controversial topic, and a lot of our listeners may be aware of a documentary that came out on Netflix in the last few years. While there may have been some things that were dated in it, was trying to draw attention to the fact that we have not adequately taken a look at chronic infections that may be involved in some root canals. And there can be some chronic infection problems with root canals. And I think what will be a challenge is if you just go to any general dentist, the tools they have to actually identify if someone has a chronic infection or problem with a root canal, you're going to get a mixed bag of information from all different dentists, which is why going to a holistic dentist who has this particular perspective or viewpoint and might have some tools to help actually assess how damaging a particular root canal may be for someone, I think has value.
They've done a lot of studies to show how dangerous the root canal teeth are. No matter how good the root canal tooth is, the failure is in the horizon, either in the close future or distant future, just based on the anatomy of the tooth. The tooth have several layers, and the main reason of the root canal to fail is because the root canal treatment removes and disinfects only the main canal of the tooth where the nerve, the brain of the tooth is located. But the dentin, which is the second layer of the tooth, has something like more than several thousand of small nanoscopic spaces that are called microtubules. And in these spaces, they're extension of the nerve, which is the soft tissue that is infected with one of the worst bacteria on the earth. They found out at least 150 types of very bad necrogenic or necrolytic bacteria that are playing role in the infections in the dead tooth. So to think that those bacteria and their toxins that stay there basically isolated in this small canal system of the tooth, and to think that they will not have causing any problems to the body and distant organs, it's shown to be not true by a very heavy body of studies and research. For this reason, the holistic dentist will suggest the tooth to be extracted and replaced by a ceramic implant. This is the alternative of root canal at this moment. In the future, maybe we'll have a stem cells implanted and develop new healthy tooth that is a real tooth. But at the moment, this is the alternative of root canal treatment.
What I would really want to emphasize is you can't just have any dentist who is willing take out the mercury. Otherwise, you might cause some problems. It's important that you seek out these dentists who have taken the time to learn these extra protocols that the IABDM or IAOMT are teaching.
That is very correct. Removing mercury fillings without a protocol and precaution to remove them safely can cause a lot of problems. If you remove amalgam fillings without a safety protocol, you have a chance to move the mercury from tissues and especially to incur a lot of mercury piling into the brain, which will cause a lot of problems later on.
Doctor, you've added so much insight for our listeners who, like me, had no idea that the holistic approach went above the chin. So I think that there's a lot more research that we can do, a lot more questions that we can have, and to seek out holistic dentistry. Dr. Iveta Yancheva-Baremi from Boston Dental Wellness, thanks for being part of our podcast.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Baremi.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank
Baremi.
Thank you, Dr. Baremi.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor. Share it with your friends and family. Give us a bunch of stars and write a review on this podcast channel. All those things will help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare, both in person and through telemedicine. Learn more and schedule an appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. See you next time.